Good morning to you all. Greet you all in the wonderful name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, we thank God for the day that you gave us. And we give him all the glory and glad that you are in the house of the Lord even this time of the year. Let's read our scripture today from the book of Exodus chapter 33. We are reading from verse 15 to verse 16. The book of Exodus chapter 33, we are reading from two verses, verse 15 and verse 16. It reads as follows. Then he said to him, "If your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here. For how then it will be known that your people and I have found grace in your sight, except you go with us, so we shall be separated, your people and I, from all the people who are upon the face of the earth." Read it again. Then he said to him, "If your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here. For how then will it be known that your people and I have found grace in your sight, except you go with us? So we shall be separated. We shall be separate your people and I from all the people who are upon the face of the earth." Amen. This is after the calf incident, where the Israelites, they decided to make a calf with their things, and then they worship that calf because Moses was not there. This is after that incident. If you can look at chapter 32, Moses builds his plea. That means what he's saying on verse 15. He pleads on the promise of God in the previous verse. That is verse 15. The verse 14 says, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." Now, after God said that, that builds what Moses said in the next verse, that is in verse 15, where he said in verse 15, then he said to him, "If your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here." Now, when God promised that he's going with them, with him, till the end of the world, now they get this question that, if you are not going with us, not only me, with me and the people that I'm going with. Now, if you are not going with us, don't allow us to leave this place. Think what? He takes God on his word. He listens to what God has said. And then when he understands what God has said, he started to make it clear. Now, this shows that we need to understand what God has said. If God said he's going with us till the end of the world, let us be sure and know that God is going with us. Nothing will change. Now, what he did, he take God and he was invested in, he said, "I'll be with you." Now, he's taking him on his way. He said, "Okay, if you're going to be with me, your presence," then he said to him, "If your presence does not go with us and do not bring us up from this," he said, "if now you're saying you're going with me, but you're not going with these people, if your presence is not with us, we don't want to come up off this mountain." That means he holds God to what he said. Another thing that you see in this verse 15, what he shows that his faith on God. He believes on God, what God has said. In most cases, the Bible always tells us that God is watching over us, God is for us, God walks with us, God can open the doors. But we don't believe that. We always, even if the word of God said God is for us, we always seem as if we are not sure that God is, if God is for us, that's in anything, there's nothing else. God is for us. Now, his faith on God, he shows his faith on God. He says faith on what God has said. In most cases, we lose it because we are not sure or we are not faithful or not what God has said. Thirdly, he made his desire to be known by God. He made sure that whatever he wants, God knows it. He said to God, "I understand what you have said in this book, but my desire is, I would like to go to the promised land, But if they are not walking with us, I better not go to the priest. He made his desire that the eyes, Moses' eyes, were not solely on the promised land, but were at the promised land if God is there. For instance, we always want God's blessings, but we don't want to commit on God. If we said last time, when we start there, everybody wants to be blessed. God can bless me and so forth. But our ways have not changed from the last year's ways. But we demand new blessings. I think the best thing that we could do is to make sure that our desires are known by God and we trust Him. His direction came from God. What He was saying, He didn't say something that came from Him. It's God who started this conversation. Now He's going with the direction that God had created Him. He said, because you said this, this is what I would like to ask from you. He said, if we are not going with us, His purpose became God's purpose. When God says, I'm going to walk all with you, that was the purpose of God. And then it became His purpose that, true God, what you say you want to do, I want it. He didn't want His own thing. He didn't bring His own agenda. He allows, He got in what God has planned for you. The Bible says, I've got good plans for you, not to keep you, to prosper you and do everything good. But in most cases, we want to put our own things in between. Whereby Moses' purpose was God, because God said, I'll go with you. Look at this, in verse 14, He said, I'll go with you. And then He took God's purpose, said, I know you want to go with me. Here I am, not only me, but even the crowd that I'm leading. He even said, if you are not going with us, I won't move here. Verse 15 said, I won't move from this place. That means God's purpose became Moses' purpose. When you are walking with God, you cannot have your own agenda. When you are walking with God, you come to the God's agenda. Now you need to sway, or you need to put your mind in God. What God wants me to do? What God wants out of me? What I need to do in order God can be present in my life? What can I do in order I can be blessed? Not just one blessing. But you don't want to do the will of God. Moses' purpose was directly God's will. His will became God's will. Whatever God wants, whatever God willed, it was Moses' will. He never had his own will. When you walk with God, you don't have your own agenda. You go with God's agenda. The main thing with us human beings, we came to God, we surrender everything, we lift up our hands, we even cry when we come to God. Once we became church members, we start having our own agenda. Even having our own way, what if this has been done this way? What if, we are not coming to our own agenda, we come to God's agenda. When we are working with God, Pastor Robin made a good example of the balloon that the Holy Spirit is there inside and instruct those people to. We're supposed to go with the Holy Spirit that is inside us. We're not supposed to go how do we feel. Or we come to church when we feel like coming. We do things when we feel. We're supposed to go. There's supposed to be something inside us that pushes us to do God's will. Moses learned that it was more important who he went with than where he went to. Repeat it again. Moses learned that it was more important who he went with than where he went to. You look at the thing, find out that it's important, even if they say there's a promised land, there's honey and milk in the promised land, nice things in the promised land, but the promised land is not important, promised land alone. The reason why the promised land became so important to Moses was he was going to go there with God. When he got the blessings or the joys of the promised land, it was not going only him enjoying it, but he'll be there with God. He doesn't want to be the place where God is not. In most cases, we always chase for our success. We didn't even mind where God is. If you look at verse 15, he makes it clear that it's very important to go where God is more than where you want to be. Again, our will is not better than God's will. God's will always play in each other. In this chapter, emphasize the few things, the following things that the chapter emphasizes. The significance of God's presence. How important it is to have God walking with you. If you read the chapter, the whole chapter, it emphasizes that the significance of God's God's presence. God must be always present. Sometimes we make our own agendas, and then we want God to put, want to put God in our own agenda. We don't want to go on God's agenda. We've got our small things that we want from God, and God must submit to our own things. But the most thing that is very much important is God's presence. We need to make sure that is God is present in everything that we do. The importance of intercession. When you read the gist of it, we find that it's very important to intercede, to pray to God. We find that Moses, everything that he's doing there, he intercedes, pray with God. He's got that connection. He's got that relationship that pushes him to go to God, to speak with God. In most cases, we don't even have that time to speak with God. Our schedule is very much busy. We just remember it when we came to church. Just remember it when things are not going our way. Oh, by the way, I need to pray about this. When things are not going our way. The thing that Moses did, in the midst of everything, the things are going his way. They are just forgiven for the calf that they've done. Now things were in his way. But as much as the thing were in his way, he still go back to intercede. We learn that we need to know that intercession is very much important. The consequence of sin and God's mercy in responding to those people. They were sin that they've done, they made it out. But in the midst of the sin that they have done, there were consequences for the sin that they made. But in the midst of that, God's mercy. God has mercy. If I was God in that situation, I would not go with them. Because they have sinned, they decided to make their own God with the gold and everything. I would, but God, because God is merciful. Because God has mercy. Because God forgives us. He didn't take me time to agree to go to the last verse. He didn't take me time to agree with Moses that I will go with you. He didn't take God a time. Once they confess, when they see that they are wrong, God's mercy, the mercy of God has an ability to find us. The mercy of God has an ability to forgive us. The mercy of God has an ability to rewrite our lives. The mercy of God has the ability to open the doors for us. The mercy of God. When we look at this scripture, why God forgive them? Why God so easily? In chapter 32, they made a calf and everything. But God says, I will go with you in the midst of what you have done. God has an ability to forgive us. The Bible says, when he saw that we are all sinners, we cannot save ourselves, he decided to give us the only son that he had. God, even when we didn't realize that we need to be forgiven, but God decided to send his son to forgive. God's mercy. God's mercy. So let him play a major role in our life. How I wish you can see that. How I wish you can sit down and say, and look at it. Know that. Understand that you need the mercy of God. There's nothing that you can do. We can do nothing. Brothers and sisters, there's nothing but the mercy of God. It's always there for us. The scripture says, there's a young man who left his home and go and eat by himself and finished everything. The father was always looking in the direction that the son will come back. When the son came back, a human being, the father, forgive the son. Even when the son didn't ask for the gift, when just seeing the son coming down, he ran to get his son. The mercy of God is sufficient for us. God's mercy. How I wish we can start when we start this year, we must understand that the mercy of God needs us to realize that we need God more than anything. In most cases, we don't even realize that we need God more than anything. These people have sinned and everything that they've done, but God still agreed with Moses. When Moses prayed to him and interceded, God agreed with him. He said, I will go with you. This passage points to Jesus Christ, who is the full revelation of God's glory. If you look at this passage, he points directly to Jesus Christ, who is the full revelation of glory. Jesus who forgives the sins. Jesus who got mercy for us. Jesus who doesn't count our sin. He just forgives us. It points us to Jesus who secured The continuing presence of God with his people. This points us to that Jesus said to us that Jesus, God is always present with us. Jesus, the reason why Jesus there is here, he always show that, continue showing that he is, God is present with us in the midst of anything that is happening. We are assured that we've got a priest who's praying for us. We are assured that we've got a man who died for us. That means the presence of God, we can really see them in the love of Jesus Christ, even in Jesus Christ. Moses understands that God's presence are essential for Israel people, for their identity. He knew the reason why that they were called that they are children of God, because they were always going with God. Now he knew if they totally go with them without God, they are no Israelites. It comes to us to understand that if there are no presence of God in our life, we are not Christians. Only thing that makes us Christians is to have God, Christ inside us. If Christ didn't accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, the church, brothers and sisters, the church cannot help us. The only person that can go with us, that is the reputation of going with people, saving lives, mending families, bringing people that are dead into life, the person who made miracles, who changed situations, the man that is trusted, the church is not trusted in doing that. But Christ is Christ. He's the perfect person who can do that. In the midst of the challenges that we're facing when we start this year, then you understand there's a man that leaned on the cross and died for us and is sitting at the right hand of God and is still pleading for us. And the mercy of God is sufficient for us. Moses understands that if your truth is going with these people without God, that will be a waste of time. Brothers and sisters, we need to understand it. We cannot come to church and worship God without God. We cannot. Cannot come to church and worship God without God. We need to have Christ in us in order we can worship God. Our responsibility as human beings is to worship God. Now, in order to worship God, we need God in us. In order we can have a good attitude. When we worship God and God is in us, we cannot complain for anything. People that can complain, we can find peace. We won't complain because there is God inside us. And the Spirit is inside us. He moves us. Now, there will be no reason for us to complain. We'll have a good church where people are not complaining because there's God inside. Even if we are not blessed sometimes, I always believe that it's not about being blessed. No, it's not about being blessed. It's about having Christ inside you. Even when you go through suffering, you know that people, they always make it as if it's for blessing and everything. No, we're not here to buy and sell. We're here to worship our God. And when we worship God, we worship Him in spirit. Because He's inside us. That makes us to be distinct from other people. That makes us to be known that we are those people who are from. What will distinct us from other people is to worship God in spirit. Whereby we feel that there's God inside us. I didn't say there will be no challenges. In the midst of challenges, but there will be God inside us. The key meaning is divine presence is essential. Emphasizing that God's tangible presence is the ultimate blessing more than anything in earth. Just to be in a relationship with God, it's the best miracle. A sinner like me and you, but have an opportunity to speak with God, have an opportunity to plead his case with God, have an opportunity to speak about it. That's a big opportunity. That's better than anything. Divine presence is essential. When you understand that word, distinction and destination, we need to know there's something that distinguishes us from other people. There's something that distinguishes us from other people. There's no gray area. There's no gray area. When we are Christian, we need to understand the thing that makes the Israelites to be distinct from other nations is because they were walking with God. At night, God will come as a light to them. He will feed them at the right time to feed them. The only thing that makes us to be distinct is the presence of God in our lives. We cannot be distinct. We'll be like every human being. We'll be like every church. But if we see the presence of God in us, that will make us to be different. There's no gray area. There's no somewhere where someone became a Christian today and tomorrow is not. We're supposed to be a Christian day in, day out. Doesn't matter what's happening in your life. We need to understand that the love of God and the mercy of God is sufficient for us. And we need to understand that with God next to us. Dependence and guidance. That we learn here is that as much as Moses was called by God to walk with these people, he knew where they were going. But again, he still depends to God's guidance. Sometimes, I always say this is the beginning of the year. When we take kids to schools or we look for them, can you please, when you take them to school, ask God and you take them to the right school. When you are looking at a job, don't just say any job. Ask that job whether they can be blessing or not yet. Let's ask for God's guidance. Not just any school. Not just any job. But God's guidance needs to play a major role when we're making decisions. We don't decide like people that they will not Christ. Can you plead with God? Can you intercede? Can you go to God for guidance? This is teaching us that total dependence on God for direction, success, protection. It's better than moving forward without Him. When you move forward without God, we are facing a dilemma. Whereby you've got nowhere to reference. But when you are moving with God, you reference to God in prayer. Saying, God, you remember, I've prayed. I've asked this from you. And I think I received it from you. Now, you've got a place here to reference. Why not just get it? Because the pastor lay hands on you. But when you go to God yourself, speak with God. You've got a place to reference. Even when things are not going your way, God, when I bring these kids to this school, I've prayed to you and you've opened this door. Now, even if things are not going my way, even if the things are like terrible, God, you've opened this door. I know I've prayed to you. Not blaming other people. We like going with the flow without even asking God what's going on. Because the flow goes this way, we just go with the flow. No, we are not going with the flow. We ask for God's guidance. Moses had every authority because God told him where they are going. He didn't say in that situation. He's supposed to say, I'm blameless on this one. I'm soldier on, but he waits for God's guidance. He said, I don't move without you. How many times we move without God? How many times we decide without God? And we still call ourselves we are Christians. Just take a moment, even if it's a few minutes, go to God in prayer before you decide. Take a few minutes. Can you relate to God? The decision I want to take, God, am I taking a right decision? Can you just go to God in prayer? Can you intercede? Just go to God in prayer. Guidance and independence is very much important. A pattern for believers. I think this is a pattern for believers. What Moses is doing here is a pattern. It serves as a model for believers to seek God's constant companionship and relationship and presence of God in a special areas of life. Whereby in no area in life you seek God guidance. Till we understand that there's nothing that we can do without by ourselves. Only God who can do it. In conclusion, we need to understand that His presence makes all the difference. The presence of God makes all the difference. When you walk because you ask God, that makes a huge difference. But when you are at your own, sometimes you blame other people. Sometimes even you blame how you grow at home. What we need to learn to this passage, the journey of Israelites must remind us that our spiritual journey require a complete dependence on God, who guides and sustains us. The presence of God is what sets His people apart. Only thing that sets us apart to our neighbors who are not Christians is only the presence of God. The presence of God is what sets His people apart. Our identity as Christians is rooted in being people who carry and reflect God's perspective. Our identity is on when we carry God's perspective. For instance, I've quoted here the book of Acts, chapter 4, verse 13, where the disciple went to the church. The scripture there said the disciple went to the church. When they were in the church, they prayed. The people that were looking at them, they said, these people are not educated. They know, but they pray and they say this. No, it's because they were with Jesus Christ. They were identified as the people that were with Jesus Christ. Because the act that they have, actually they are acting, they show beyond doubt that there are people that were with Jesus Christ. Can our parents, can the way that we handle ourselves be the show thing to the people outside that we are the people that are with Jesus Christ? I always have the problem with the Christians that when the character is not changing, but there's Christ inside you. Our characters need to change because there's Christ inside us. Even there are things that we need to say, I was like this. Jesus has changed my life. But that's what He's doing in our lives. Jesus came in our life and changed our perspective of thinking. And if He even changed our desires. And then walk with us. When you look at the mirror, we ask, I'm not the same person that I was. Because Jesus came in and changed my life. If there's Christ inside us, there's supposed to be a sign when the life changes. And changes forever. Not back and forth. Better to remain in the desert of God than to reach Canaan without God. I think that what was in the mind of Moses. Better to remain in the desert of God than reaching the Canaan without God. How to get blessings and be comfortable without God. Always one thing that motivates us is to know that in the midst of blessings and everything, but God is with us. How then will it be known that your people and I have found grace in your sight? How then will it know that your people and I find grace in us? Answer it in John 14, verse 16 and 17. He's saying, those who are with Him, they have Holy Spirit inside them. And that Holy Spirit will direct them. That's the only thing that can make difference, that we are with God. When there's Holy Spirit inside us, and that Spirit directs us. Let us pray. Father, we thank You. Father, we give You all the glory, give You all the honor. Thank You for Your way, thank You for being our God. Father, with this morning we come to You because we know that You are God who have mercy. You are God to walk with us, to embrace us. You open our minds. Father, You've got ability to change our characters. Father, we are God who can walk with us. We pray when we start this year, we know that there are challenges of the year. But Father, we walk boldly because we know You are going to go with us in any direction that You are going. Last year, You've walked with us. Even we trust that this year, we are not even thinking about that. We know that You are going to work with us. Thank You for being our God. Thank You for Your weight. Thank You for embracing us. We give You all the glory. We give You all the honor. In Jesus' name, we thank You. Amen.
May we sing the last song. Thank you.